Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Whatever other church you've been to, just it's okay. This is different. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved, and we like to share it. That's what we're about. That's what we're doing, and we invite you to be a part of that. Like, we're going to pray together, but I do need to warn you on something. If you're sitting here, if you're out here, you actually sat in the choir loft. I know it's embarrassing, isn't it? Oh, I'm in the choir loft? I don't even sing. There wasn't even a tryout. It's okay. But y'all are sitting in the choir loft. That's all we got. We got the place right here where I preach. We got the place where the band leads. They don't perform for us. They lead the choir, which is y'all. Okay? So we're going to sing to the Lord. He's the only one worthy of our praise. We're going to sing to Him after I shut up and I pray. Okay? We ready? All right. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. We don't have to be. We get to be in a place to sing your praises, to hear your word. Father, to have just be close to you and the love and the joy and the peace and all that you bring with you. And so, Father, fill us up. Fill the people in this place that we might do what you've called us to do throughout our life, throughout our time, throughout the rest of the day. Lord, it's just exciting to be with you and with those who are pursuing you. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feel the love. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory
hear the gospel. I mean, we ain't got. You don't got to wait for the man. Look for the gospel. Listen for the gospel. Seek it out, man. That song is tight with the gospel, and from the virgin birth to the return of Christ. Can I tell you what it made me think of while I was sitting here? Jesus Christ is unstoppable. They couldn't stop him from being born, but they tried. They couldn't stop him from living and showing the good news about who the Father was, but they tried. They killed him and they thought they kept him dead, but they couldn't. They tried, but they couldn't, because he rose again, because he's unstoppable. and say what they might and try as they may, they can't stop him from coming back. And he will, and it will be a glorious day.
But I
Some of y'all know that was an invitation song. Hey, there's one goal and one challenge for all of us, I promise. No matter where you are with the Lord, there's a goal and a challenge that we all share. And that is to draw closer, be drawn closer, move in, push in closer to the Lord our God through Christ. That's for all of us. No matter if somebody who's never heard the gospel, the goal is to hear the gospel and be drawn in and move in closer to their Father.
And be introduced to their Father God through Jesus Christ. For the saint who's walked this earth for a long time as a Christian man or a Christian woman, the goal and the challenge is to wake up that day and say, you know what? I'm going to draw in closer. I'm going to pursue the God who pursued me first. And I'm going to draw in closer. That's the challenge and the goal that we all face. And so if you're here now and even that idea of, man, I do need to be closer to God. I want to be closer to God. The invitation song's already been sung. Man, you ain't got to wait for me to preach. That's formality. You know, we're not here to box God and give some kind of formula. If God has already started talking to you, you close your eyes, you tune into Him, and you tune out to me, and you start doing business right where you are, just as you are, right? Because He's got something for you. He's got something for us too, and it's pretty awesome. Okay, 90s class, y'all had to hear that little preamble. Yep. Uh-huh. You ever hear that saying, God loves you just as you are, but loves you too much to leave you there? You know, this sermon is kind of along that line. He loves you right where you are, but I'm going to tell you, God has a way of taking us and shaping us and growing us in the way that it ought to be done, in a good way, in a loving way, in a way that aims at our correction, at our growth, not at our destruction and not at our shame. Anybody living life with somebody who thought the best way to grow somebody up was to talk down to them? I mean, I don't know how much of that still lingers, but I know growing up, whether it was the father figures in my life or whether it was coaches, you know, the best thing they thought they could do was tell you you're an idiot and that you're horrible and that you're no good, and they thought somehow or another that was going to make you spring up, bow up, and decide to do good. Well, maybe in some cases it worked, but I'm going to tell you something about the Father God we have. He is constantly drawing you with cords of love. Now, even when He corrects us when we do wrong, because He does, because a good Father does correct you when you do wrong, it ain't for your destruction. It's for your correction, for your life, for your edification, to build you up. That's what He does. And He can do it perfect. He's awesome. I love it when I turn myself over to God. And y'all, just because sometimes we think because we're saved, we don't need to do that. Can I just challenge that and say, man, we need to do that. We need to continue to turn ourselves over to God. You know, because who knows what kind of what a day will hold. You go in this world and you haven't turned your life over to God. My guess is you, like me, you're going to live for yourself. You're going to get into a big old pile of flesh. You're going to get into a whole bunch of funk. And that can go on for a season, can it? Anybody been in a funky season lately? You can get in a season. How long do seasons last in a human life? You know, seasons in human life can be like years and dog years. You know, it's like a season can last a decade. You can be in a funk for a decade. You can get caught up in the flesh for decades, can't you? Anybody say yeah? Thank you. See me after church, all y'all. I saw you. It happens to preachers. It happens to everybody. You lose focus, and all of a sudden, you're just walking according to what feels good to you, what makes sense to you, how it all works for you. And all of a sudden, you even start thinking God ought to be working for you. Man, I know it. I can hear it in my own self, and I can hear it when people talk to me. It's kind of like, well, you know. Y'all said if I believed, God would do such and such and such and such. And I've done it. I've showed up at church. I've given my tithe. I've told somebody. I've prayed before dinner. But God hasn't done blah, 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 blah. And golly, when I say it to myself and I come aware of it, I almost want to say, you know, what? Am I so ungrateful that God's kept me alive even? You know, here God is keeping me breathing and stuff. Because if you looked at my diet and my ways, you'd think I was doing everything to try to stop that thing.
So here, you know, here goes God. He got me through everything. Before I knew him, after I knew him, he's gotten me through everything. I don't know how many times, you know, that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. I don't know how many times that happened when I've made myself a person who ought not be driving. Whether through bad emotions or bad alcohol or any other thing. And can I tell you, I know it's not right. This ain't bragging. It's just saying this. My whole life depends on the Lord God. And if I ever get the attitude that he ain't done for me, when the fact that I'm standing here, I know that I'm being a jerk. I know it. I know that about me. I'm not brave enough to call y'all jerks. But I will say I know that about y'all too. We're dependent on God for everything. And somehow or another, to get up in his face like, you ain't done for me, hold your breath. Use your own heartbeat rhythm. You know, God has us so finely tuned, I don't even know all the things that can go bad with your heart. But I hear them all the time. So-and-so's in AFib. They tell me that. I'm like, I'm not a doctor. What does that mean? It's an AFib. Like defib? No. AFib. Like a little lie is a fib? No. It's an irregular heartbeat. Well, why don't you say irregular heartbeat, sucker? You and me. I ain't house. I ain't diagnosing this mess. Tell me there's something wrong with his rhythm, man. He's out of beat. He's out of tune or something. I don't know what it means. But I know this. We know when somebody's out of tune because God has made us to be in tune in a certain way. And if you don't think you're dependent on it, go ahead and get out of it. Go ahead. Run your own rhythm. Tell your heart to beat just every time you need it to. Uh-oh. Our brain's doing stuff that computers can't even calculate how much it's doing and how much it's intaking. They still, as smart as computers are, these two goofy looking things on the front of my face take in more information probably per second than a computer can hold, you know, in all the computers. And it's processing it in this curly gray thing inside my skull. You know how it's doing it? Because God made it that way. We are dependent on God. Y'all, listen. We're going to talk about goals. We're going to talk about pushing in and pursuing the goals of God. But I don't want us for a second to somehow or another think that God's love for us or our relationship with God is based on performance in any way, shape, form. Because it's not. God don't love us because we perform well. God loves us because God is love. And he's chose to. And he looked on you and he looked on me and he says, I'm going to love them. Say, really? Have you looked at me lately? Have you looked at in my heart and in my mind? And he says, yes. Matter of fact, I looked on you, John, when you were a sinner so far from recognizing me, and I still loved you. He loves you that way too. But we are going to talk about what happens when we receive that love and we have that relationship. And then God says, hey, come on. Come on with me. Do you remember what Jesus' call was to the disciples? It was so simple. Do y'all remember what it was in the Gospels? He just walked around meeting strangers, which is a little bit strange to say about the creator of the universe because I don't think, you know, it's weird, but it's like he doesn't meet any strangers. But do y'all remember what he used to say? What he used to say? What was his simple invitation? He said, take up the cross and follow me, and that's how, if you want to be his disciple. But I remember even, it was just half that in the beginning of the Gospels. He would just say, hey, follow me. Come follow me. You, come follow me. Y'all listen. This message and the goals we have for Christ Community Church, that's what it is. That we'd be a group of people that hear him still say, come follow me. Come follow me. So we're in Philippians chapter 3. Is it getting hot? I see people waving and okay. Sorry for y'all who ain't hot. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to blow cold air on y'all. And cold air on y'all. And you in the middle, you're going to stay hot. If you don't want to be hot, you need to move to like the side. But I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a try. Well, that's just... We're going to get you there. And if you get cold, think about it. If you get cold, you can move close to somebody. Well, if you get hot, you got to have air conditioning. You know what I mean? You just got to. That's just it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 say this. Yeah, I could. It's not me that's hot. Well, I mean, I am hot. It's. I'm looking at those people. It ain't me. I'm sweating. This is my workout routine. Hey, y'all know that you got physical jobs. You lose weight at work. Well, I don't got a physical job, so this is it. I wear warm stuff and I move around trying to get the sweat on. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. It's all I can do, coach. Hey, it's all I can do. It's the best I got. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to share your word, to just rejoice together in song. And Father, we love you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. All right. For some of y'all who have been listening or paying attention, this is the same passage from last week. It's going to be a different emphasis. Last week we looked at these same verses and we emphasized the idea of recognizing that we're not there yet. If we're going to achieve the goal God has for us, we need to realize we still have room to grow. Right? We're just not there yet. The other thing that we said is that there's some things that need to be left behind. You don't drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. You don't safely, effectively drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. Okay? And then the imagery that Paul uses here has to do with a race. It has to do with, I don't know if we got that picture up there. Or available, but of somebody in a we don't. I'm gonna have to model that for you. So somebody when Paul says, and this is what we're looking at today. When Paul says, I'm forgetting what's behind me, and I'm straining toward what is ahead of me. He's using the imagery from a sprinter, and you can probably tell by looking at me. I'm a natural sprinter, very fast. Okay, I'm sorry. Not very fast. But I know this. And part of it, this is the language that Paul is using. If you're going to win the race, you got to focus on the place where you're going. You can't be worried. You can't be turned this way looking behind you. You can't be distracted looking all around you. Nobody is effective running if they keep their head down for long. You got to be looking at it and pressing forward, forgetting what's behind you. That's what today's message is about. For those who have been called by God in salvation. And believe me, I believe God's calling everybody. And if you haven't been saved, God is calling you. God wants you to be saved. Okay? God wants you to be saved. I got no theological debate or anything. Some people say, well, it's the predestined and all that. You tell me what predestined people look like. Give me a description. We can cut them out of our evangelism list. But if you can't describe them, you better be sharing with every living being on earth. Because God said to, right? So God calls us all in salvation. When we're saved, He calls us to follow Him. He calls us to walk with Him. He calls us to be like Christ was, like Christ is. You know the key? You know, I thought about this, about the goal, about pressing on, all these things. And I thought, the goal is to be like Christ. So does that mean that I'm defeated or really bad at it if I haven't walked on water lately? Does it mean to be like Christ? You know, I ain't healed anybody. I ain't healed anybody who's died or has been sick. And y'all, I know that sounds weird, but if you go around enough families who are distraught because they've lost somebody, I don't know about y'all, but I've prayed that God has given would give me the gift to heal them or to raise them. I told you about my friend who I watched, and he was in a coma, and they said he was brain dead, but they had him on all the machines and stuff. And I slapped his face, and I prayed, God, wake up, wake him up, wake Steve up. Because I was afraid, what if nobody tried? What if nobody asked? What if it was just that? Man, I know, but you know what? It wasn't my gift. Does that mean I'm not like Jesus? No. Because you want to know what Jesus did that he invites us to? To walk with God daily. He invites us to walk with God. He invites us into that relationship. He invites us to come close to God. I told you all the challenge is going to be coming closer to God. The focus of our life ought to be, how is it that I can walk closer to God today? How is it that I can learn from my Lord Jesus who listened to his Father? You know, the key to Jesus' life, he always said, I listen to what my Father says to say, I say. What my Father says to do, I do. Cultivating that relationship, pushing into where he is, focused on it, stretching out. Now, not that I've run many sprints or anything, but you know, I've seen pictures, I've seen videos of sprinters. And when they get to the end, they get to the tape, what do? They go, ah! Well, they do that after they bust through. But right before they get there, they stretch out. They go, ah! And I can't even lean. Ah! I can't lean forward that much. Maybe I have to run first. No, I'm not going to do it. But you get the idea. They push forward. They strain forward. Like that dude, breaking the tape. Coming through. Stretch forward. Like that guy. I guess it's a guy. That person. That ambiguously gendered person. Stretch through. Break the tape. But y'all listen, when we get into talking about this, that's not where the race starts, is it? That's where the race ended. How does a person get to the point where they're ready to break through the tape and they're leaning and pressing forward? Where did it start? Now, we got some athletes here who have achieved some great accolades. I'm looking at Easton Curry, who has trophies and honors, and not just local, but national, state and national. You reckon he just walked into a karate... You're going to have to excuse me because that's all going to be messed up. But anyway, you reckon he just walked into a karate dojo and said, I'm going to kick somebody and hand them a trophy? No! You reckon the first time he tried something that just worked? No! Man, you can take that... You think any time, just somebody, first time they swing at a baseball, they hit home runs for the rest of their life? No! Man, it happens when all of a sudden you feel like, man, there's a calling, there's a draw to it, and you make a commitment, you start working toward it. That guy didn't get there, whoever that is. He didn't get to the finish line just because he didn't show up on that day of the Olympics and say, I want to run today. But whoop-de-doo. You can take your want to, and you can take what? Never mind. Don't finish that out. You have your want to in one hand and a pile of leaves in the other. We'll just say that, and you see what happens. Which one fills up first? We don't get nowhere on just want to. Y'all, God has a calling for us. And it's a serious thing. Now, again, God don't love us based on performance. But I'm telling you, the way to live with God is by committing to the lifestyle he's prepared for us. Now, we're saved by grace through faith. And not of works. It's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Big John version. But verse 10 says this. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, there's a path laid out for those who have given their life to Christ. There's a path laid out. And y'all, all I'm saying is, individually, so each one of us individually, and as a church, we ought to find that path. And we ought to walk on it. We ought to make our commitment. We ought to push in. We ought to train. We ought to be serious-minded about it. You know what happens? Well, let's take something that just happened. I don't know where y'all are. I'm sorry for any Alabama fans and all that stuff. But somewhere, right? I ain't going deep. I ain't hurting nobody. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. I ain't hurting nobody. But you know what? For all that went on, they had the big national championship game. In a couple more weeks, they'll have a big Super Bowl game. And then what happens right after that game? They get rings. They get money. They get prestige. They get all this stuff. And then what do they get? They get to start right back over again. Because whoop-de-doo, it's a new year. It's a new season. Come on, everybody wants that stuff. And they work. Y'all, you get into a college program, it don't matter if it's the band. I'm looking back at Pierre. And he's not looking at me, and he don't even know I'm talking about him. Hey, Pierre. How you doing? All right, good. He's just like, whether you get into the band, whether you get in the football track, any other thing, you in the college level, the professional level, man, you are going to be working. A lot of people say, well, it's off season. Well, you know what you do in the off season? You get ready for the season. When you're in sports, there really ain't no off season. Because you're training for the season, even in high school. And so much so in college. And they're competing for something that lasts for 15 minutes, clap, ring, and money. Or an attaboy, attagirl. Ain't nothing wrong with competition. I think it's good. I think it's great. But if you ever get serious about that, you ought to be serious about those things that can't ever go away. Jesus said, man, we ought to be like going after that reward that will never go away. You know, like we ought to be after eternal things as the people of God and have victories that don't ever get erased off the books and never get forgotten because they're written in God's book. We ought to be the serious minded who are training, who are committed, who say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get better. I'm going to walk further with God. I'm going to pray, Lord, help me. And when my flesh is exposed and I'm found to be unworthy and I'm knocked down to the ground because I'm no good, I'm going to look up from that place and say, Lord, I'm ready to try again. Will you take me? And he says, yes, son. And then garbs me up and we go again. And I'm going to go again. And I'm going to go again. Because when you find out what God has for you and it's good, you don't quit. So many people have quit. Y'all, listen, this isn't a game, what we're playing when it comes to church and our personal walk with God. It is no game. The rewards are eternal. They're immense. The glory goes to our great God and King. I don't know about y'all, but I want Him to get all the glory from my life, from my words, from my actions. And you know how long I got? See, a game always has, there's four quarters in a football game. You know, there's three periods in a hockey game. Three rounds in a wrestling match. Because wrestling ain't no game. It's my bias. I don't even know if soccer has halves, quarters, two halves. There's a time limit. What's the time limit on your walk with Christ? When's off season? When's the opportunity to give glory to your Father? The daytime or the nighttime? Both. All the time. Y'all, we have the greatest thing for which we ought to be striving toward. Yet, for most of us, it's where we chill out the most. Where we kind of say, and we rest. And we don't apply the same kind of discipline. We don't apply the same kind of go get them. When we get fired up about those temporary things, even if we're just a fan. Fanhood, I'm so mellow and chill. Fanhood drives me a little crazy. Now, y'all probably won't ever see me in like crazy fan mode because the Detroit Red Wings playing in the playoffs or the Stanley Cup. That's about the only time I get really fanatical, like weird. And they ain't been doing great lately, so you ain't probably ever going to see that. But it just cracks me up how we can get so twisted and so tied up about things that really, in the long run, don't matter a lick. It already don't matter that Clemson won. You know, they're already back in the weight room. They're already looking at film. They're already figuring out how to get better. They're figuring out who they need to draft. They figure out how to tighten up. They're figuring out. That's all behind them. And they got to push on, right? That's all done. Y'all, what we're going for. Imagine God using you and me. Imagine God using this church to introduce somebody to the gospel who's never heard before. And they say, yeah. Yeah, I want to receive Christ. And they do. And they trust His grace. They trust His mercy. How long are they going to be saved? Man, don't you want to be a part of that? What if we started getting serious about that? What if we started looking at, man, who do I know that needs to know the Lord? What if our prayer life started getting wrapped around some of those goals that we had? We started praying, like Jamie said in the last sermon of the year, praying circles around these things. Praying circles to say, man, we want to see people who don't know the Lord come to know the Lord and get saved. We want to see people who know the Lord start getting into walking with the Lord.
Man, what if we started doing that and seeing that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, then maybe you and I would have the great privilege in this life to be those who see that finish line and we push into it and we like say, yeah, I see it. I'm going for it. I'm going to make it. Man, that's what Paul was saying. When Paul says, one thing, this is verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining, that's that word, that literally, he gets that from the runners, straining toward what's ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize of the call of God heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about not giving up, understanding you're called, and putting your whole self into it. Now listen, your whole self won't accomplish it. This is a God-sized task and it requires God's power. But you know what? You just give your whole self to God and see what He'll do. See how it'll overrun its borders. How it'll be like a river overrunning its banks. It'll just be more than you can think of, ask, or imagine. I know. Oh, this makes me happy. I know my life was heading towards hell because I didn't know God, didn't love God, didn't even want to know about God. I know where my life was heading. I know what the potential of my life was. I was a rotten fruit on the vine. I had nothing. I had nobody. I had nothing going. It's not that people didn't love me. I had love. People loved me. But you know what I found? The love of people don't transform a heart. My heart was dark. My mind was dark. My spirit was dark. I was all the way evil, sinful, nasty, lost. Until God saved me. And now I know this. Every time He uses me for something, that was something, man, I should have already been gone. To me, it's just like a blessing on top of a blessing. It's like the left hook of God. Like, who would have saw that coming? When I talk to people in my family at home, they're like, why would you think you could be a preacher? They ask me that sometimes, like, what makes you think you could be a preacher? What do you mean, what makes me think I could be a preacher? One, I am a preacher because I preach. But I do that because God called me, saved me, and then called me to preach. Shoot. Dang. You know, I'm like, what are you talking about? That's what it is. It's just the work of God. And now I want to preach. And He's given that to me. And it, to me, it's just feeling like once was it was a fruitless thing, an empty thing, now has the potential to glorify God. Praise God. Man, that's good. That's what I want to push more into. Lord, let me fill out my calling. What all does that mean? I want to be like Abraham when God said, walk around this land. I've given it all to you. I don't want to be a preacher that just stands in one place. And I'm not talking about it in my sermons running back and forth. I'm talking about, I don't want to just say real safely, well, I preach a sermon at church once a week. Man, where can I preach on Monday? Where can I preach on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? Where can I preach in the morning? Where can I preach at night? I want to push into it. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Now, I know you're looking and saying, well, that's fine, John, but not everybody's called to be a preacher. Well, thank God everybody's not called to be a preacher. We'd be annoying everybody, but everybody's got a purpose. Everybody's got a calling. I promise God saved you for a reason. What is that purpose? What is your calling? That's the first thing in the sermon. We hadn't even started the sermon till now. I'm sorry, y'all. Just go ahead and call and cancel your plans. This is going to be a minute. The first thing is define that calling. You might say, John, how do I know what my calling is? Here's how you know. Man, you push into God and you ask God, Father, show me, apprentice me, disciple me, raise me up. I can tell you some of the things it will involve. It's going to involve you getting in your word. It's going to involve you praying. It's going to involve you repenting when you need to repent and not just holding on or rationalizing or justifying your sin, but bringing it out to God and saying, here it is, Lord, I want to let it go and grab onto what you have for me that's better. Define your calling. And everybody's got one. Don't play that mess. One of the biggest messes the devil wants to get people in is to say, well, you know, those dudes who preach, the missionaries and the teachers and the preachers and the whoever elsers, they got a call on their life, but you're just regular people. Man, ain't nobody regular with the Spirit of God inside them. Don't you let nobody tell you different. If the Spirit of God abides in you, you are now a fruit dispenser.
love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, and any other thing that comes from the Holy Spirit. Kindness. Thank you. Man, you ought to be, at the very least, right? Be those who are showing evidence that God is with us. At the very least, your calling is to be a fruit dispenser everywhere you go. Mine too. But I believe He's got more. What more? Shoot, man, I don't know. But you know what? I've got to see some people in my family come to know the Lord. Maybe you could see some people in your family come to know the Lord. How do you go about it? Pray for them, share, talk with them, be patient with them. When they, maybe you come from a family like mine that was some hostility toward the gospel. Man, God was patient with you. Ought you be patient with other people? Yeah, well, you don't know. They talk this way and talk that way. So what? Show them what Jesus is like. Show them Jesus-like patience. Show them Jesus-like love. Be like Jesus to them. Man, I know that in general is your calling and my calling. Next point is differentiate between knowledge of the calling and commitment to your calling. I had to find a D word, and so I used differentiate. That means make a difference between. Y'all know there's a difference between knowing you're called and being committed to being called? Because I bet you, those of you who have studied the Word just a little bit, you'll realize that God saved you for a purpose. I already read the marquee verse for that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He created beforehand that we should walk in them, which means live in them, push into there. That's our life. That's our calling. But just knowing that and be committed to that is a world of difference. Hey, did Jonah know that he had a calling on his life? Jonah, the old prophet in the Old Testament. Did he have a calling on his life? God said, Jonah, I want you to go to, which is that way. And where did Jonah go? Tarshish, which is that way. Just knowing you have a calling on your life and being committed to that call is different, isn't it? Adam and Eve had a calling on their life. Had a command set on them. Don't eat that one. What'd they do? They ate that one. But you know, that's simplistic. You know what their calling was? Walk with God and trust God. And yet when one voice to the contrary came, I wonder how much of them we still like that. One voice to the contrary. Ah, but when God, you might not be living out what you wanted. Oh, you might be missing out. The little voice whispers. Oh, but they're not going to be there and God's not real and God will forgive you anyways and all this stuff. And so you ought to just try this. You ought to just do this. You ought to just go this way. We hear one voice to the contrary. And we go, okay. We bite the apple. Or maybe somebody says something bad about you. Maybe they say you're ugly and your mama dresses you funny. Now, I know that's kind of simplistic, but you know, people do talk bad about people still. Why is it that you can hear 100 sermons about how God loves you, and you can hear one stupid mouth say something ugly about you, and you believe the stupid mouth? Why? I think because at some point there's a knowledge of a calling, but the commitment, it hadn't come yet. Y'all pray that you can be committed to your calling. Commitment is something I do so lousy at. All you got to do is put me on a diet and I run like Jonah. God says, you need to go that way. And I'm like, what? Hey, hey, hey. Some of the older folks get that. That seems like sometimes, why is that? Why do we let the negative weigh so heavy and the good weigh so light? Why are we so quick to believe the contrary voice and not believe the voice that says, that's junk, I got something for you, I love you, walk with me. But then what happens? In that same sense, that differentiating between commitment and knowledge, if you just have a knowledge of your calling and not a commitment, you will quit when you sin. You'll quit when you sin. Because you will take yourself out of the game saying that you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to sit out. I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm not going to teach anymore. I'm not going to worship anymore. I'm not going to share at work anymore. I'm not going to do any of these things because I've sinned and I'm embarrassed. We ought to be embarrassed because you sin. That's fine. I get that. But you need to get over it too. You need to put it behind you, and you need to press forward. If sin could separate us from God forever, then what in the world did Jesus do on the cross? If sin was still the insurmountable mountain that God couldn't get to, and it trapped us on the other side from Him, then what are we here for anyway? Don't take yourself out because you sinned. Let me pop the bubble. You're going to sin, and you're going to sin again. But Christ is sufficient, sinners, for you and me. All sufficient, all the way, to get us all the way to the end, to the tape. He is sufficient. I promise, because He promises. He knows how to take care of all of it. Don't take yourself out. Don't take yourself out because you're feeling insecure. I've told y'all before, when I used to be an athlete, I first got saved and I was kind of like, I was in a little bit of shape and I still had a whole lot of arrogance in my brain. And our preacher invited a really fat preacher to come and preach. Really did. And I didn't like him. I can't remember his name. I'm kind of glad. But he was an older guy. He seemed out of touch. He preached in this weird style. He was like, in the year of 1959. I'm like, why did you say 1959, dude? Anyways, I remember sitting there thinking, you know, you're preaching really good, but you're a fat preacher. Doesn't seem like God's really taking effect in your life. You know what I mean, chubby? That's what my thoughts in my mind. I was like, and I literally told people, I don't like fat preachers. No, man, that's what I told people. Of course, over time, wonderfully, God and His humor. I'll change my name to Isaac or something. This means laughter. It's kind of like when they said, how can I have a baby? They just laughed at God. Yeah, we're going to have a baby when they're old. Like, yeah, you are. And by the way, you're going to name him Laughter, okay? It's just how it works. He's like, I'm like, I hate fat preachers. He's like, dang it. All right. But all serious, it was difficult the first times God asked me to stand out in front of people and preach after I had gained a whole bunch of weight. So I went from about 250 to 315 to 385 eventually. And it was very embarrassing. And I had to decide whether or not I was worthy to preach. And can I tell you what I decided? I wasn't. But I wasn't the one put me in the game, and I'm not the one taking me out of the game. I'm going to push on into what God's called me to, whether I feel secure or I don't. Whether I got a big zit on my face or if I don't. I probably got some breakfast in my beard. But I'm just going to preach. And people are going to receive it or not. Now, I wish I could be a picture of health, kind of like chiseled out or something like that, and be like, receive Jesus, and everybody be like, yes! Maybe someday, but I ain't stopping until that day comes. I'm stepping into what God has for me, whether I feel worthy of it or not. I wasn't worthy when He called me. I wasn't worthy when He saved me. So I sure is not going to stop doing what He told me to do just because I feel like I'm not worthy. I'm going to push in. I'm going to push in and say, Lord, come on, You got this. Commit to the call. Don't just know about it. The last thing is deliberately focus on and pursue the calling God has before you and His church. Deliberately pursue it. You can have the knowledge of the call and you can have the commitment of the call, but you need to put that foot, one foot in front of the other in pursuing that call. The word that he uses here, two words I'll point out, is the one where it says, I press on. He uses it in verse 12, I press on. He uses it in verse 14, I press on. That word is like after something, like you're persecuting it, after something, like you got to get it. It's the thing that you've got to find, and you won't stop until you find it. You ever notice how we are when we lose something? You stop looking after you get bored. You stop looking after you think you looked enough. But there's some things, if you lose it, you keep looking until you find it. Joshua, stand up, son. This is my oldest son, who's almost as tall as me. Okay, you said that. I didn't even need to stand up. I just wanted to embarrass you. But he was about three. He was about three. We were at a, maybe he was four. He's young. He was only this tall, not this tall. And we were at a playscape in Jackson, Mississippi, by the Science Museum. You know, they got a really nice playground there. And 55 is there, and Lakeland Drive is there, and it was a beautiful day, and it was packed full of people. And all of a sudden, we were getting ready to go.
And so we had Levi, who was just barely walking, stumbling around, blowing his nose in the sand. And we had Allie, who was still in a baby carrier car seat. And we were getting ready to go, so I'm calling for Josh. Josh, come on, it's time to go. Well, he's not coming. So far, not unusual. And so, like, Josh, hey, boy, it's time to go, come on. Well, he's not coming. And people are starting to clear out of the playground. And all of a sudden, you know, you start getting that little bit of worried. And you start, you know, kind of losing any kind of dignity. You know, because there's a dignified level to our voice. Hey, Josh, come on, son. It's time to go home and play funsies. You know what I'm saying? You got that kind of thing. But when you don't think they're coming, all of a sudden you start getting that panic. Josh, hey, where you at, boy? You better come out now. You're going to get whooped. Which I don't know if that's any kind of motivation for coming out, you know. You come out now, I'm going to get it. Don't make me come in here. Even at 4 years old, he'd be like, Dad, you can't fit in here. You know, it's like those playthings at McDonald's anyways. Be like, what you going to do? What you going to do? And so we can't find him. The whole playground clears out. I look up and everything. He's not there. You think I just said, well, I gave a shot. You know, I tried. You know, hey, Sarah, you know, you remember Josh, right? I don't know where he is. Let's just get the other, at least, you know, come on. We're going to move on. You get all crazy. And I started going up. There was all these people picnicking. First thing I did, I was kind of scanning there with my eyes, but I made a beeline to the bathroom. And so I went into the men's room. And I looked up in every stall, not Josh, Josh. I came out of the men's room, and I went right into the women's room. And it didn't matter. Give me a ticket. Put me under arrest, but I'm going to make sure ain't nobody got my son in there. And I'm going in there, and I'm going to look. I went to every picnic table. I'm looking under the picnic. Have you all seen my son? They're like, no. I'm like, I don't trust you. I'm looking under your table still. Because there's some things that you lose, and you don't stop until you find it. There's some things worth having. You don't stop until you find it. Obviously, we found Josh that day. He didn't see us, so he ran over to where they're having a big party. There was like a pavilion and microphone, and he went up and grabbed somebody and said, I can't find my mom. And so they're like, okay, does this child belong to anyone? And it didn't. And so they walked over to the playground, and they found us, panicked, and we found him, and it was all wonderful. But the word in here that Paul is using when it says, I press on, is one of those kind of times. It's not something you quit on just because you tried it before. A lot of people say, I've tried to walk with God. I've tried church. I've tried reading my Bible. I've tried praying and it didn't work. Well, dry your eye and get your Bible back out and try again. And push forward again. And don't you let sin or insecurities or anything stop you. Can I tell you the unstoppable Jesus who raised up from the dead is going to raise you and me up from the dead one of these days? He's unstoppable. Don't take yourself out. Push into that calling. Try again. Pursue again. Determine. Be deliberate. I'm going to do it. Everybody, have you all read the Bible through in a year? Look, I'm just throwing some things out. Have you? If you have not. If you have not read. First, I'd say this. If you've never read every part of the Bible, and you claim to be a Bible believer, because of the integrity that you have in your heart, you need to go find the parts you ain't read and read them. And you need to set a goal up for yourself and say, Lord, because I know who you are and you've called me, I'm going to pursue your purpose. I'm going to push in. Have you had a daily time with God? Just where you pray. Just where you pray every day. And you say, man, I'm going to do it. Look, Olympic athletes don't skip on their workout and expect to win the gold medal and break the tape. Don't you and I... Don't get to where we're skipping and thinking it's fine and it's dandy, and yet somehow or another I think I'm going to still claim to be serious-minded and all those things. I ain't talking about guilt. I'm talking about saying, what a wonderful opportunity, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to go for it. How long do you let sin linger in your heart and your life before you tell somebody you can trust and you tell God and you let go of what's wrong and you grab on to what's good? Oh, Christians, we ought to have a way of repenting, of confessing and repenting. If we confess our sins, that's our part. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
See, even babies get it. They're like, yes, that's good. So that's it, man. That's where we are. Up on the board, we have some goals that we're trying this year. I say we're trying. Last year, God worked in such an amazing way in this church, and it was almost like I felt like we had our eyes closed. Woo! We was driving with our eyes closed. We're like, wow! Wow! It was pretty awesome, the things that happened. This year, we just said, why don't we take our hand off our eyes and actually ask God to help us do stuff? You know, what about that? And that's some of the goals we've come up with. Some of the goals are as follows. And all of them are kind of put into this idea of I press on. I press on to the goal to win the prize for Christ. And Christ Community is going to press on to the goal of starting an evangelistic Bible study in Holcomb on Thursday, February 7th. Be praying. Be praying. Here's the first thing you can pray for. Pray that lost people will come. Because I'm going to tell you, with the current church culture, I believe it's going to be difficult to get lost people want to do church anything. Or Christian anything. Or spiritual anything. Now, if a whole bunch of church folks fill it up, that's fine. We're going to teach on how to evangelize everybody. God has a plan. But our goal is to see it filled up with people who have legit questions and have not yet arrived at the kingdom and they want to be saved and they want to know more about it. Be praying for that. We're also looking, Christ Community pushes toward the goal of growing the Sunday morning worship attendance to an average of 275. Y'all look around right now. Just look around. This ain't 275. But can I tell you, it ain't a whole lot off. It's 272. It's two. I can't see. Bill, just yell it, Bill.
Little over 200.
That's everybody in the whole church. Y'all listen to me now. It ain't about us saying, hey, we want this to be a big church. But it's this. God gave us this place to preach at this time. And we want to hit as many folks as we can. We want to be growing. We're not about looking backwards. We're looking forwards. And we want to grow. God doesn't love us based on these goals. Based on this performance. I feel like I got to say that over and over again. Because the religious mind is always wanting to grab onto some kind of works-based something. But this ain't that. We're not doing this to be saved. Man, we're saved and we just want to be walking with our and pushing into what God has for us. Christ Community wants to press into the goal of baptizing 50 individuals by the end of 2019. By the end of 2018, I think we did. It was right at that. Right at 50. And y'all, to me, I believe we did it like this. And God just blessed us and He threw it on us. And I loved it. And I hope He does that again. But you know what? I felt like God was saying, you know, son, you can work toward it. You can plan on it. You can pray toward it. You don't have to just keep your hands over your eyes. But if God wants to bless us, let Him. Man, we want God's blessing. But we want to say we're going to work towards something. When we say 50 people baptized, we ain't talking about just running folks up in through here and just doing it. We're talking about people who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through the praying and the saying of the gospel. The sharing of the gospel. We're talking about people getting saved. Jesus saves, bro. We're talking about being a part of getting that. You know, just being a part of that. Man, I want to be a part of that. We want to see 50 individuals go through all four of our discipleship classes. Today we have a 301 class. That class helps you find out. It's one of the ways we say, Lord, speak to the people in this class to show them what they're shaped for. What kind of ministry, what kind of goals they ought to be pursuing individually. Y'all, these are the things that we're after. These are the things that we're praying around. Those aren't the only things. We also want to see, y'all, back in those back rooms, which are much smaller than this room, sometimes up to 60 youth gather into a room. Can I tell you, it stinks. Their deodorant stopped working halfway through school. You know, it's Sunday. It's after school. It's hot. You got all kind of teen. You know, it smells. But I praise God. I praise God for the man. I praise God for you, Smelly. I'm looking right at Malik. Anyway, I praise God that if it was adults, they would have stopped coming. As soon as it got too crowded, they'd be like, this ain't comfortable. This ain't, that smells weird. I'm not coming. But there's something that they get that God's given to them here.
But you know what? Because we see that, we want to have a place for them that's more adequate, where the smell can be dispersed around a bigger area. That's what the thermometers are on there. By the end of this year, we want to pray that we'll have a usable building out there. Maybe not finished, but usable. Just usable. Usable is what we're aiming for. That's our goal. Usable. And we can get a place like that. We're praying, though, for other things. Ministries that have been dormant for a while. New ministries that are starting up. Ministries that we had that we're hoping to invigorate with a new life. There's all kind of stuff going on. I just encourage you to say, Lord, use me as a part of the church as we get toward those goals. As we push in to our relationship with God, use us that people might be saved and have a church home and get discipled in this place. Wouldn't that be good? Now, whoever you are here, I told you at the beginning, the challenge was to move closer to God. So whether or not you're a saved person or you're somebody who hasn't been saved yet, right now we're having a time of invitation. And the invitation's for you, from wherever you are, just as you are. You come in and say, Lord, use me. If you want to come up here, we have places where you can kneel and make a commitment. Y'all, I don't know about y'all, but when I was in church, that's so often how God worked with me. I don't know how many packs of cigarettes I've left up on a church stage. I've just, so here you go. Leave your cigarettes, son. I don't know how many times I went up and repented over the same stupid things, but can I tell you, God used that, and it was kind of like He kept, that was a step of faith. It was something like I had to do. But y'all, you don't got to do that. If you want to, if God is talking to you, you do business with God, whether it's in your seat or if it's up here or if it's this afternoon. But don't leave it off. Push in. This is your chance. And no, you don't age out. You don't retire out. You don't time out. Heaven is the time. Right, where we get to say, thank you, Lord. And we just get it's all done. If you're here, there's a purpose. No matter who you are. Father God, help us to push into that purpose you have for all of us. Use Christ Community Church, Lord, to be a place where you're glorified first and foremost, where we encourage people, preach the gospel, preach the message of your scripture, and push in to what you have for us. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. But Lord, do your work. Nobody but you can do this. We made tasks that are beyond just us doing. We're looking for your blessing, your strength to do these things. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm gonna pray for us, though. Unless I can get Rivers to pray for us. River, all right, pray into my chest.
Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing everybody out here, Lord. I just want to pray that someone has taken something from this lesson so we can fill that 50 baptism goals, Lord. Because, as he said, we just don't need people running up here to do it. We need someone to fully do it, Lord. Mm. We need more people to follow you, Lord. We need to do the ministries, and we need to fulfill their goals or do more of them, Lord. I just want to bless everybody today. And thank you for the offering that the good Lord has provided for us, taking up, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That ought to make you
I'm
All right. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for coming. Please be praying about these things. We'll have some of these goals. We'll have them posted. We'll have them different places where you can pray about them. We are praying through. Jamie made a Christmas ornament looking thing full of all the prayer requests that we put in the circle, you know, and he's got it. And we ain't looking at them. We're just praying. We're just praying for those things. So there's some things that y'all prayed on the last Sunday of the year and that we prayed, and we're just praying for them, okay? Be praying, man. God has great things for us. Keep pushing in. Hey, I love you. Thank you all for letting me be your pastor. And I'll pray for us now. Now I'll pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break.